to stay in France. You had nothing to gain by giving your life. Knowing I cannot repay you, even if I try.
You walk up Calvary's mountain. You hung on Calvary Street till you lay down your life. And you did it just for me. Till you shed your precious blood to wash me white as snow. Till you hold me in your hand. You never let me go. You knew that I would fail you from the start. Still you love me. You love me with all of your heart. The power you spoke first and all you came to be. You came and lived a perfect life. The very life that you created cried out for your blood. So you freely gave it all just to show your love. Still you walked up Calvary's mountain. You hung on Calvary's tree. Still you laid down your life. And you did it just for me. Still you shed precious blood to wash me white as snow. Till you hold me in your hand. You never let me go. You knew that I would fail you from the start. Till you love me. You love me with all of your heart. I'm deserving of your love. I'm worthy of such grace. I defied all I had done. Still you took my place. Still you walked up Calvary's mountain. You hung on Calvary's tree. Still you laid down your life. You did it just for me. Still you shed your precious blood to wash me white as snow.
I can breathe.
looking for an answer. God always has a plan. And when the burden gets so heavy and my side is getting dim, oh how sweet it is in knowing I can bring it all to
Good singing, good song. Chapter 3. Right. I'll give you a couple simple thoughts this morning. One big thought. Just two ways to think about it. All right. One big thought this morning. I believe the girls sung very well in telling us how great the Lord is.
Yes.
That He loves us with all of His heart. I marvel. I don't tell the singers what I'm going to preach, but I always know that they really sought the Lord when things run together. When the songs and the message goes together without nobody saying, without me requesting or anything, then I said, well, so I've been talking to the Lord because there's not but one Holy Spirit, and He always guides together. So. But I appreciate it. Loves me with all of His heart.
Yeah.
I wonder how big that is.
We can't tell.
I know how big my heart is. I wonder how big the heart of God is. He loves me with all of His heart. And that's a lot of love, ain't it? I mean, Brother Rick taught us John 3:16 this morning there in Sunday school hour, and he didn't even scratch it. He didn't even, he done great and went on and on and on, and we still ain't got it. I mean, you can't do it. He even told about the preacher, preached about it all week, and he couldn't get it all out. And that's just the way it is. You just can't exhaust. I'm glad the Lord loves me with all of His heart. Knowing full well that I'm going to fail Him. Knowing full well. I mean, knowing today I'm going to mess up, take both feet, stick in my mouth sideways before the day is over. Choke on the very words that I try to say. Rebel against Him. And He loves me with all of His heart. Beats anything, huh? It beats anything. You can't beat the Lord. If you find anybody better, let me know. Huh? Yeah, you ain't going to find it. No, you ain't going to find it. But if you do, that's the Lord. If you find anything better than what I know, it's going to have to be the Lord. But I got the Lord. And that is enough. He's enough this morning. I find Him to be enough. All right, everybody all right? Let's pray together. Father, we come just now. Lord, You are great and wonderful. There's no doubt about it. They didn't sung about You in the special scene. We sung about You in the congregation. And Lord, I pray that we might be obedient unto You. Lord, we can trust You, but Lord, it ain't just trust. We need to obey. We sung it. We said we was going to. And Lord, I pray that we would. Lord, I pray that we would be the soldier. We'd march and do Your will. Lord, if we pay attention to the words that we sing, Lord, it would help us. If we pay attention to Your word that You've written to us, it'd help us. Lord, help us to do that this morning. Lord, cleanse my mind, my heart. Give me power as You see fit, as You speak to us. I pray, O God, that You might not just give us power to preach, but give us power to listen, power to obey. And we're going to trust You for it all in Jesus' name and amen. 2 Peter chapter 3 is where we're going to start. We're going to start at verse 3. And let's read just for a moment. It said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant, of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes. Now, we're going to look at several things here this morning. Let's just look at the Scripture, the big word, expositorily, okay? We're just going to look down through the verses till we get down to where we're going to preach from just a moment, all right? Let's look here to start with in verse 3 and 4. It said, now Peter's writing here, and he says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Well, that's now. I mean, we have that. But that's the truth. Jesus promised that he would come again. And there's always somebody wanting to say something. Well, if that's the truth, then where's he at? When's he coming? If he's coming, where's he coming? Well, I think he ought to come now. He should have done come. I mean, we've all been, at one time or another, we're all scoffers. At one time or another. If we question the coming of Christ at any moment, we become a scoffer. If we think he's delayed or anything else, we become a scoffer. He's got his plan. He's in charge. And he'll do as he wants to do. But the truth is, he is coming again. And there is people that wonder, well, where is he coming at? Where is it then? And that's what it says here in verse 3 and 4. Then verse 5, when people, 3 and 4, when people question, they don't believe. That's why people question he's coming. They don't believe. You understand that. See, if you think, well, things are just like they always been, you may not believe he's coming. See, I'm not persuaded that all believers believe he's coming anyway. There's many people that believe that Jesus died and rose again, but they don't believe he's coming again. Because you can tell it by the way we live. If we really thought he could come at any moment, we wouldn't live like we do every moment. Everybody understand? See, we believe in spurts. Yeah, we get real spiritual. We believe he's coming. We'll straighten up, live right. But then that old flesh gets back a hold, and we don't believe he's coming, and we don't care, and we live the way we want to. I mean, that's just simplicity. But it says in verse 3, knowing this, that there shall come scoffers. And then they say in verse 4, well, where is the promise of his coming? You know, they don't know. Well, you know why they don't know? Verse 5 tells us why. For this they willingly are ignorant. You know, sometimes people's ignorant and sometimes they're willingly ignorant. Do you know that? Sometimes people just don't know, and then sometimes people don't want to know. Are you hearing me? Sometimes people just don't know, so they're ignorant. And then sometimes people don't want to know. And throughout the Scripture, it tells us, quit being ignorant. Especially brethren, being not ignorant brethren. I know there's a comma there, but still, we ought not be ignorant brethren. All right, he don't want us to be ignorant. Now, that's not stupid. All right? The ignorant is just not knowing. Not knowing. But it says here they willfully are ignorant. They willfully don't know. See, people don't willfully know what's going to happen in the end days because they willfully won't read their Bible. They willfully won't listen to preaching. They willfully won't listen to teaching. We willfully won't listen to what God says, so we're willingly ignorant when we don't know. When people say, "Well, I didn't know you shouldn't live like that," because you don't listen. It ain't because you don't hear. How many of you guys have been accused of not listening at home? Have you ever been accused of not listening at home? You heard what was said, but you didn't hear it like they said it. You ever have that problem? I hear what Cheryl says, but it didn't come out like that in my mind. So I ignored it.
Amen.
Hey, do y'all ever ignore it? Guys? Yeah. Talk to me, guys. Yeah. Y'all ever ignore it? See, we're willingly ignorant.
Right.
Because it was said, but we didn't listen. Now, ladies, you don't listen either. You hear, and it's explained in detail. And you have no clue. That's just the way you are. You're willfully ignorant. Now that's the way we are in the house of God. We come in, we have an hour of Sunday school. Alright? If you come to Sunday school. And chances are when you go to the restroom between services, you forget what was taught. How many remember the passage I used last Sunday morning to preach? Don't look where it's wrote down. Do you remember? That's enough. Just say if you remember. I got one person that remembers. How come the rest of you did? So he said, well, I know. I've asked that question. People tell me. They'll tell me parts of the message, but they won't answer the question. There's bits and pieces. You say, was last week better today? That's what some of us thought. Wait a minute, what day is this? Was last week better today or was the week before? I ain't going to ask you what I preached the week before. Who preached last Sunday night? All right. But there was a hesitant. We got to think. You know, it's because we don't listen. These people that Peter is writing to, and we're not going to preach a message on not listening, although we could, but Peter is writing to these people who have saw Jesus, they saw his miracles, they watched him ascend, they've been told the gospel, they've been told everything's going on, and they said, we don't believe. It ain't happening, we don't believe. But they saw it all, they've been there, they know everything going on, and they become willfully ignorant. And that's what it says here. And I just want you to keep that in your mind, that people are willfully ignorant. Then verse 6 then reminds us about the Word of God, tells us about creation and the water and the Word and the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water. Then he reminds us about the flood in Noah's day when the flood came. That's what it reminds us of there in verse 6 and 7, right? By verse 7 then tells us about the flood coming and the earth being destroyed, and then tells us that the same promises or the same way that God done it in the past, he's going to do it in the future. That he destroyed the world. Now, it's going to happen now with fire. It's going to be different. All right, but it's still going to be destroyed by the same word, by the same power, by the same truth. It's the truth is what he's saying here. That the world's going to be judged and there's going to be hell as well against ungodly men. Verse 8 and 9 go together. Verse 8 says, but, beloved, be not ignorant. Here he's telling us not to be ignorant again. He done told us once not to be ignorant. Now he's telling us not to be ignorant now. Let's know something here. This one thing that one day is with the Lord as. This one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Just pay attention to what it says. It didn't say that one day was 1,000 years. It didn't say 1,000 years. It says that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. All right? Be not ignorant. God's not on our timetable. A day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day. We're not on the same level. Everybody understand? We're not on the same level as God is. In any way, we're not on the same level when it comes to Him coming again, or a flood, or a perishing, or ungodly men. We're not on the same level. Everybody understand that? Well, so often we try to get God down to where we're at and try to understand God. You can't understand God. He's bigger than, thank God He's bigger than we are. Man, if He's like us, then we're a lost ball in high weeds, huh? No hope for us. Think about it. But then it says, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Now, bring it with 8 now. Remember now, the Lord is a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not so slack concerning His promise. Listen, look at me. The Lord is not slack concerning His word. His word will not fail. It cannot fail. His word is true, righteous, holy, perfect in every way, without mistake, without error. It's God-breathed. It's God-handed down. It's God-preserved. And I get a copy of it in my hand. And God is great. Huh? And He says the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. As some men count slackness. You can't compare. Can't compare, because we're slack on everything. Huh? But look what it says. But is longsuffering to us. Now why is that longsuffering in there? Because verse 8. Because a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And then verse 9 talks about, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to preach to you just for a minute this morning on the long-suffering of God. The long-suffering of God. Now, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions this morning. First, I'm going to give you the meaning of long-suffering. Now, I didn't get this out of the dictionary, all right, but just listen. This is a good meaning for long-suffering. It is His goodness. Long-suffering is His goodness. Long-suffering, everybody look at me. Long-suffering is His, God's goodness, all right, withholding punishment from those who sin over a long period of time. That's long-suffering. He withholds punishment. How about we just bring it right down? Long-suffering of God withholds punishment from us who continually sin over a long period of time. That's the long-suffering of God. Huh? Pretty wonderful, ain't it? The long-suffering of God. You say, well, how does all that apply? Well, let me ask you this. How many times have you heard truth and did nothing? Any? We've all done it multiple times. And God didn't kill you. You know why? Because He's long-suffering. How many times maybe have you rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus? You know that you're lost down in your heart. You know you are. Whether you said you was or not is immaterial, but you know down inside that you're not saved, and you've heard the truth of the gospel, and you know it's true. But you rejected it. But God didn't kill you and send you to hell. You know why He didn't? Because He's long-suffering. You know? He's long-suffering. How many times have we been convicted over a sin, convicted over wrongdoing, knowing good and well we had no business doing it, knowing good and well we ought to change, but refuse? How many times we ever do that? Pretty regular. And He don't snuff us out. You know why? Because He's long-suffering. Because it's His goodness. It's His goodness. Holding back the punishment to those who sin regularly over a long period of time. Long-suffering. We better thank God for long suffering this morning. Huh? God is long suffering. How do I know God's long suffering? Well, I mean, the Bible says, of course, but let's see. How about that? We look at some scripture. Everybody okay?
Yes.
Why didn't He kill me? Why didn't He kill me? There's a song that I've asked Trista and Cheryl Ann and Becky and Jerry and whoever will do it to learn it. And they're going to learn it. And I don't know if Trista's forgot about it, but we're going to remind her. But nevertheless, It's A Million Reasons Why. That's the name of the song. If you ever want to go hear it, the Perrys sing it. And it talks about that I've given the Lord a million reasons why that He ought just forgive me. Said I've tried to run from God and I kept running flat faced into grace.
Amen.
Huh? Yeah. Try to run from God and right when I go to running, I hear grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that, you ever do that? Talk to me this morning. Knowing I'm rebelling again, knowing I'm wrong against God, knowing I got sin in my life, and I turned away from God and hit grace right flat in the face. There it is, right in my face. Give Him a million reasons why He ought to walk away and throw me away and quit loving me and caring. But He ain't took not one of them. He loves me anyway. Huh? That's long suffering this morning. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. I believe I can find it here. Exodus chapter 34. Let's look at verse 5. We'll start at verse 5. Are you with me this morning? And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, speaking of Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, the Lord. That's all, the Lord. The Lord God.
Yeah.
It's the Lord talking. He proclaimed it. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God,
yeah.
Merciful,
yeah.
Gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth,
yeah.
Keeping mercy for thousands.
Yeah.
Look, now look what he does. Forgiving iniquity,
yeah.
And transgressions. And sin. Wait a minute, I thought they were all the same. He separates them, don't he?
Yeah.
He must make sure everybody understands he ain't leaving nothing out, nowhere, shape, or form. Are you with me here this morning? Huh? Hey, the ones that's over rebellion, the ones that's with pride and arrogancy, the ones that's just little errors, little mistakes, little sin. It don't matter if they be little or whether they be major, whether it be spitting in his face, whether it's rebellious, whether it's arrogant, I know more than God. It don't matter which one it is. He is very plenteous in mercy and grace and long-suffering this morning. Ain't that what it says? The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means... Now listen. And that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, to the third and to the fourth generation. He said, listen, I've got forbearance. I've got patience. I am willing to hang with you, but now don't push me. Because I'm going to stop it here before long. I've got patience with you. I've got forbearance with you. I'm gonna love you, and I'm gonna step aside and wait on you. But now, somewhere I got a limit. Are you still with me? Everybody still with me? How about we look in the book of Jonah? Jonah. I always thought this was a very brazen attitude that Jonah had.
Yes.
Jonah chapter 4. We know the story of Jonah, do we not?
Yes.
You know Jonah and the whale?
Yes.
Jonah did get swallowed by a whale.
Yes.
Jesus said it was a whale.
Right.
Jonah said it was a great fish. Jesus said it was a whale. So you know what he got swallowed by? A whale. People say, well, that's not possible. If it had said, like the little boy said, if it had said that Jonah swallowed a whale, I'd believe it. All right? I just believe what it said. But Jonah has such an attitude. Here he is, a preacher, church goer, loved the Lord, but he hated people. He hated the Ninevites. He hated the Ninevites because when God said, Jonah, you go to Nineveh and preach, I ain't done it. And he says why. Look in Jonah chapter 4. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. But it displeased Jonah. Now what displeased Jonah? Because in chapter 3, the whole town repent. In chapter 3, the whole town, everybody repented. Every man, woman, boy, girl repented in chapter 3. And it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. Ain't that amazing? And look why. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? In other words, listen, what he's going to tell him, he says, listen, that's why I didn't want to go. Because I knew just sure as you sent me down there to them and I preached, all of them was going to get saved, and I didn't want them saved. Because you're such a loving, caring God, and I wasn't going to do it, so that's why I didn't want to go. Now, ain't that a bad attitude?
Yes.
I know you've never had that attitude, but I... And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth thee of evil. I knew, sure as I'd preach, I knew that's what you'd go and do. You'd forgive them. Huh? Jonah knew that God had forbearance. As slow to anger and forbearance and patience, they're all mean the same thing. Slow to anger. Slow. Wait a minute. Why would God be slow? He ought to have a quick temper. Huh? Shouldn't he? He's holy and just. I mean, we're holy and just, and we all got quick tempers. Same thing the way God ought to be. We all get mad and justified, right? Talk to me. Don't we get mad at everybody and justify when they do wrong? When people do us wrong, don't we get mad immediately? Huh? Well, that's not slow to anger, is it? That ain't being like the Lord. We ain't got forbearance. Although, wait a minute. I think forbearance is a gift of the Spirit. We read in Galatians. Ain't it? We reading the same Bible? I'm just wanting you to see that God has forbearance. We still okay? How about Psalms 103? Psalms 103. We okay this morning? We're preaching about it. So it's a lovely thing. We're preaching about the forbearance of the Lord. Huh? How about Psalms 103, verse 8? It said, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Plenteous in mercy. See, slow to anger and forbearance and patience, all them three words go together. Huh? How about Psalms 145? We still okay? Now, we can give you a bunch. We just give you a couple. Psalms 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. There it is again. Slow to anger and of great mercy. I just want you to understand this morning that I'm thanking God that He is forbearing. He has forbearance. That He's got slow to anger. That He is very patient with me. Ain't He you? Ain't He patient with you? You know you. How patient is He? Huh? My papa was a loving man. He was a loving man. And he was great in all of our eyes. And everybody loved Preacher Bill. Everybody loved Popo Bill. Everybody loved my Popo. But he was so patient. And I've told this before, and I always laugh, you know, about we're talking about patience. What's a good illustration of patience? Well, BB, all of us growed up, Daddy worked day and night, pastored and day and night, so we didn't really get to see Dad much, unless we was in the car going to church, you know, because Dad was always working. If it wasn't a church preaching, Dad was at work. So Papa lived right beside us, 30 yards beside us. And so we was with Papa all the time. And so all of us took our turns growing up helping Papa. Papa teaching us doing stuff. Well, didn't have money to go buy replacement things like we do today. Something breaks, we throw it in the trash and go to Walmart. Well, we didn't do that back then. You fixed what you had or you're done without. So Papa taught us how to repair everything. We repaired toasters and mixers and washing machines and dryers and pumps and done we done all that. Well, BB was working with Papa, working on a mixer. And Papa was putting the beaters in after they had put a new switch in. And BB turns the mixer on. BB plugs it up unbeknownst to Papa and turns the mixer on wide open. And Papa's hand gets up and without hollering, he said, "Turn it off, BB. Turn it off. Very, very, turn it off." So BB finally got it turned off. But that was patience.
Yeah.
Now, if that had been me, after I got my hands out, I'd have slapped BB across the table. Right. But Papa wasn't. He just said, "You don't do that with my hands here." You want me? Now, that's the best way I can show you patience right there. But God is so far greater than that. Look at you and look at me. And look at how we live. Look at what we say and where we go, knowing good and well that we shouldn't be living the way we're living. And God gives us mercy. And He has forbearance. Are you listening to me? He has patience. He's slow to anger. We're supposed to be His representatives. We're supposed to be, we saved and we belong to Him. And everywhere we go, we're supposed to act and talk and look like Jesus would. And we're a poor representation. We're poor ambassadors. And He's slow to anger. He has forbearance. He has slow to anger, patience, forbearance. For it says here, He is long-suffering. He's long-suffering. He suffers with me a long time. Are you listening to me this morning? We're talking about the long-suffering of God. How long is He putting up with you this morning? Over the same thing. I always think, we've told it many times, we always think about the lady that kept coming to the altar and just every Sunday. Finally, the preacher just said, "I wonder what's going on with her." So he got down beside her and she said, "Oh God, take the cobwebs out of my life. Oh God, take the cobwebs out of my life." Well, the next Sunday, he got down there, she came, he went down there and listened to her again. "Oh God, take the cobwebs." And Sunday after Sunday, he'd get down there and he'd listen to her. And she prayed the same thing every Sunday. Finally, he said, "Stop. God, kill the spider." Are you listening to me? That's the way God is. God listens and He listens and He listens and He listens. And then finally He says, "Enough! Listen! Enough!" But ain't you glad He's long-suffering? Ain't you glad He's long-suffering this morning? Let me ask you this morning, let's be honest, what do you deserve this morning? Where should you be this morning? How should you be treated this morning? Let's do apples with apples. He treats you like you treat Him. He talks to you like you talk to Him. He trusts you like you trust Him. He does for you exactly on the same manner that you do for Him. How is it? Ain't you glad He's long-suffering this morning? Man, I'm tickled to death He's long-suffering. I can't compare to Him. I want you to understand, there ain't nobody greater than this wonderful Savior. There ain't nobody greater than this God this morning. Nobody greater. He's long-suffering. Why is He long-suffering? Well, it says in verse 9, why? "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." Why is He long-suffering to usward? Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason that He's so long-suffering with us that He gives us more and more opportunity to come to Him. Because it's not His will that you perish. It's not His will that you perish. He gives you every opportunity. He is so long-suffering that He's not going to throw you away. He's going to give you over and over and over, time after time after time, a chance to get right. Ain't He great? Ain't He great? That's what it says here. We okay? You say, well, how do I know that? Well, can we look in the Scripture and see? How about 1 Peter chapter 3? Are y'all all right with me this morning? 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's look here at verse 20. It says, which sometime were disobedient. Look at this. When once the long-suffering of God, what did He do? He waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. He waited. He waited. Is that not long-suffering?
Yeah.
He waited. God waited and waited 120 years in the making. He waited and people wouldn't believe. Now, he got in. But look at how long-suffering He was. Look how many years He's been long-suffering with us. Are we okay this morning? Huh? How about Romans chapter 2? Romans chapter 2. Is this making sense to anybody this morning? Romans chapter 2. How about we look at verse where we want to start at? Romans chapter 2. Let's start at verse 3. Romans chapter 2, verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? See, what it gives you is the meaning of longsuffering, huh? That it was His goodness holding back the punishment of someone who sins over and over for a long period of time. Do we not see the goodness of God is what does it? He does it that we might come to Him. He's long-suffering to you this morning because He's given you ample opportunity to come to Him. He's given us Bibles and teachers and preachers and songs to encourage us and help us. He gives us the Holy Spirit in our heart to woo us and talk to us and to teach us and to guide us. All of this to get us to come to Him. Because He don't want to see us hurt. He don't want to see us perish. He don't want to see us on the short end of the stick. Man, He's long-suffering. And He's got patience like nobody. Man, think about it. That's the Lord. How about 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy chapter 1. There's so many of us, all of us. It's not just a few, but it's all of us that He shows long suffering to. 1 Timothy chapter 1. How about verse 16? Paul's talking about himself. Huh? Okay, can we go back up? Let's just go back up and start at verse 12 where we can get the whole gist of this. Everybody with me? 1 Timothy 1, 12. And Paul says, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Look what I was. Everybody think about what you was, but you're washed. You ain't that way no more. But this is what we were. Who was before? A blasphemer and a persecutor. And injurious. But I obtained mercy. Hallelujah. I obtained mercy. How about you? Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I didn't know. Huh? Brother Rick told us that this morning. He was talking about him. He didn't know. It says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all what?
Long-suffering.
Long-suffering. for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul said, look how wicked I was, and I'm just a pattern to the long suffering of God that God allowed me to look at you this morning. God is using you for an example and a pattern others before you. Look how great he is this morning. Long suffering. Ain't he though? Huh? I mean, he is. How about we go back to 2 Peter? Hang with me now. I'm about done. 2 Peter. Let's go back there to 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's drop down to verse 15. Now, remember, our thought is, why is he long-suffering? And that's that we have more opportunity to be saved. Look at verse 15, 2 Peter 3:15. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is what? It's salvation. It is salvation. Can I tell you, he'll hold on as long as he can do it. He'll hold on for you just as long as he can. He'll let you by. Oh, listen to me now. He'll let you by so long that you think you've got by. He'll let you by so long that you think you've got by. And then he says, let's wait a minute. Let's stop. See, I'm afraid we're abusing the long-suffering of God. I'm afraid that we're abusing the long-suffering of God in our country. Nationally speaking, financially, even wicked as we are, even morally, financially speaking, mind-wise, and things we invent and things we can do, there's no greater country than America. They're not. But we're abusing the long-suffering of God, and somewhere it's going to stop. It's going to stop. But then I look at our church. I look at our church and I see the great things that God has done for Mountain State Baptist Church. The great things that he's done with buses and workers and the thousands that we've been able to bring to Christ through the ministries of this church. But I'm afraid, with all my heart, I'm afraid that we're abusing the long-suffering of God. And he's going to say, okay. But it's not just a country, it's not just a church, but it's us Christians. And look at our life this morning. Look at where we used to be in our closeness with the Lord. Look at our walk that we used to have with the Lord. The power that we used to have with God. The zeal that we used to have in our heart and our mind. The love that we had for the Lord and one another. Huh? And we're abusing the long-suffering of God. Somewhere he's going to tell us, all right, I've had enough. And you say, well, it can't be both ways. Oh, yeah, it can. He's got a limit. Have you ever told somebody, you know, I've had my limit? Have you ever said that? How come God can't? You can. Why can't God say he has his limit? You ever wrote somebody off? Talk to me. You ever wrote somebody and said, I'm done with them. I'm done. I ain't have nothing to do with nobody. I ain't have nothing to do with it. I quit. I'm done with them. You don't think God can't do that? We don't have a right to do that. Everybody look at me this morning. You don't have a right to write nobody off. You don't have a right not to forgive. You don't have a right. You don't have it. You never earned that. Neither did I. He did. He's got a right to say, I'm done. He's got a right to say, enough's enough. He's got a right to say, all right, that's what you want. All right? You ever remember growing up as a kid? When mommy or daddy would say, all right, keep it up. Keep it up. I've been told that, but I wasn't told that very many times. Keep it up. Go ahead now. Keep it up. And then after that last keep it up. And I wish I could make the noise of that belt coming out of them loops. Huh? Was it because of no love? No. Because there was a limit. See, we're living like there's no limit today. That's how we're living, like there's no limit. But I'm here to tell you, there's a limit. How do I know there's a limit? How about Proverbs chapter 29? How about Proverbs chapter 29? Verse 1. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Huh? How about Nahum? You don't know where Nahum's at in the Bible. Nahum. Habakkuk is after it, all right? Jonah, Nahum, Habakkuk, back in there where we don't know much about. Nahum chapter 1, everybody still with me?
Yeah.
Verse 3 says, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power. Ain't that wonderful? But then it says, and will not at all acquit the wicked. He's slow to anger, but you're not, the wicked ain't getting by. I'm slow to anger. I'm long suffering, but there's a limit. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Did he have his limit in Noah's day? He was told Noah to get in the ark. Noah, get in the ark, get all animals in the ark, get your kids in the ark, get your wife in the ark, get their families in the ark, get in there. Now leave the door open for 7 days. 7 more days, leave her open. Leave her open 7 more. Now get in there, and I'm in there with you. Now come on in, come on in. We're going to leave the door open for 7 more days. Nobody else to get in. Door's open. So he rested prayer and he shut the door. So the Bible says the Lord shut him in. He shut the door. Noah didn't shut the door. The Lord shut the door. That's what the Bible said. He was long-suffering, then he shut the door. Right? Children of Israel in bondage in Egypt. All right? You can go back and read. We're not going to go back and read it. Children of Israel in bondage in Egypt. All right? The Lord gives them a great deliverance. Is that not true? The blood of the Lamb delivered them. Here they come, cross the Red Sea. The elk get across the Red Sea. They're singing good when the enemy's washed away. They're singing praise. Huh? Singing a song there on the bank. It ain't no time. Moses goes up to talk to the Lord to get the rules. Huh? They build a golden calf. Strip off her clothes. Naked, start worshiping other gods. Moses comes down, and God says, okay, that's enough. That's enough. Now look at everything I've done and everything I brought them from. I'm taking care of them. But now, if that's the way they want to do, all right, get Levi's bunch. Let's get them. Get your sword sharp. And how many? 3,000? Just go and kill 3,000 of them that afternoon. Enough's enough. Enough's enough.
Yep.
Look at the children of Israel all through. The whole nation constantly rebelling against God. Constantly rebelling against God. And he sends preachers. He sent Isaiah. He sent Ezekiel. He sent Daniel. Then he sent all the minor prophets, all them little guys in there. And they all preached. And they all preached. And they was having Jeremiah on. They wasn't listening. Nobody's listening. So he has Babylon come, burnt the city, burnt the gates, gathered them all up, took them prisoner for 70 years. They were prisoners. You know why? Because God said, nah, I've had enough. I've had enough. I've had enough. He says in, does he not say it in Romans? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll repay. See, I'm long-suffering. I'm long-suffering to you because I don't want you to perish. But after a while, I'm done. Now, we'll sing about His mercy, and we'll sing like Mateo used to sing. I used to love to hear her sing, and I'm... If he ever done me right, he'd say, "Hey, quit patching me up and fixing me up," and he don't do that. He don't do that right now. But where is the line for you? I'm going to ask you this morning. Sure, you go to pen. I'm going to ask you this morning. Where is it going to end for you? Where is it going to end for you? The long suffering of God. We're a hard headed bunch. But you know, after you're hard-headed so long, you'll become hard-hearted. You know that? After you're hard-headed so long and rebel and I'll do what I want to do when I want to do it. And God says, yeah, you can. Go ahead. Go ahead. And then after a while, they said, now I'm going to do what I want to do. And I've had enough. I've had enough. How long are you going to go? See, the long-suffering of God is great this morning. The long-suffering of God is wonderful and marvelous. But somewhere, there's a limit. I encourage you this morning to enjoy long-suffering. Everybody in their seat this morning ought to bow their head and say, God, I sure thank you for being patient with me. I sure thank you. You should have killed me a long time ago. You should have rubbed me out a long time ago. You ain't done it. I sure do appreciate it. Somewhere we're going to have to change. Somewhere we're going to have to change. You're not saved this morning. You're going to have to come to Christ. Somewhere you're going to have to come to Christ. If not, to hell you'll go. And it ain't because He wants you to. It's because that's what you're determined to do. There's going to be some that's going to face a mighty hard chastening hand. There's going to be some that's going to lose far more than they ever thought they'd lose because they're banking on His long-suffering never ending. Why would we want to live like that? That'd be fear. Huh? That'd be fear. Suffering of God. Thank you, Father. Speak in our heart, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing. 293.